Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, that was one messy and weird game, wasn't it, folks? Welcome back, guys, to the Go247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, the senior writer here at the site. Joined again by our contributing writer, Dylan Sanders. I was in Jordan-Hare for what was a very typical LSU-Auburn matchup. There was a lot of craziness. There was a lot of inconsistent play. A lot of the issues that we've seen from this team at times this year crop up. But as Coach Kelly has said, really all year, this is a team of fighters. And LSU was able to pull away with the 21-17 win in Auburn to get their first SEC road win under Coach Kelly. The Tigers moved to 4-1 on the season. And we'll dig into all the great stuff from last night. You know, there was just so much bizarre, weird, quirky kind of deals with the offense, with the defense, with special teams. And we'll get into all of it here. But before we do, just make sure you guys are hitting the like button and subscribing on YouTube, you know, and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts from. Anything like that really helps us out as we try to grow this network out. So with that, Dylan, I know you were watching from home, but could you see the pain, I guess, in terms of having to follow this game from an LSU fan and an LSU journalist perspective? I mean, just talk about some of your opening thoughts from what this game produced last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, both Louisiana teams had a crazy football weekend. And one ended up slightly better than the other. That was LSU. But yeah, watching it from home, you know, I missed the stadium atmosphere because this is my first game watching from home. Definitely brings a different perspective of the game. I don't know, just having it focused in on, you know, the broadcast version and not being able to watch out what's happening with the entire view. The broadcast had, it was weird. The broadcast did have like the crowd and stuff really low. So I couldn't, if the crowd was getting rowdy, you couldn't really tell that much on the TV. It was pretty quiet.
Yeah, for the most part. I can say just from a firsthand perspective, we were inside an enclosed press box. So I probably heard very similar to what you were hearing back at home. You know, it sounded like Auburn was pretty rowdy to start the game, and certainly as they built that 3-score lead, but you know, LSU was able to kind of weather that storm and put up some good numbers there in the second half. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I was just saying, yeah, it was insane. It was typical LSU Auburn messiness, craziness. So yeah, I mean, a win's a win in the SEC at this point. And hey, you got the win and now you're ranked in the top 25, yep, albeit at 25, very, very much on the edge, but you are in the top 25 now.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but this was kind of what I was expecting in terms of just the kind of game that it was going to be. I put 23-17 as my prediction. I was pretty close. I will say that. I got pretty close on that one. I just thought that there was, you know, from an offensive perspective, and we can start right there, that, you know, against two quality opponents that LSU's played this year in Florida State and Mississippi State, they just hadn't gotten off to great starts in either of those games. I thought that might be an issue that could crop up again here against another team with some really high level athletes on defense. You know, I thought Auburn's defensive scheme was pretty solid in terms of stopping LSU's pass, but really what LSU did was to themselves. I mean, at the end of the day, LSU's passing offense could not get going. Jaden Daniels threw for just 85 yards on the night. There were drops, there were missed throws, there were miscommunications, there were a lot of issues with the passing offense that I think you have to be concerned about as you welcome in a really high-powered Tennessee team. But, you know, just in terms of the game last night, I thought that there was a definite step back in terms of the passing offense. You know, we came in with such high expectations for this receiver group. I think combined the receivers had four receptions in this game for like 35 yards or something. It was just a very uninspiring performance. They were not able to get Kayshon back into the fold much. I think he had one catch for 4 yards. Jack Besh had one catch on the night. You know, I remember looking at Malik Nabers at one point in the second half, and they had just missed on a throw, and Nabers was throwing up his arms, and you could tell that there was some real frustration offensively in terms of trying to get you know, the game going through the air. And so as a result, LSU kind of leaned heavily on the run game in the second half. I thought that, you know, all four backs had their opportunities. Josh Williams, I thought, really had a solid game. Just he's been, I think, Mr. Steady for you all season long. I really like what they do with Josh Williams and his role. And he had some really big plays, a couple key first downs there at the end of the game. You had John Emery break through for that 20-yard touchdown run. It was great to see him pull off a play like that. And really, you know, this was a story for me, at least offensively, about finding a little bit of an identity on the ground. You know, you were able to get really all three of those guys with Noah Kane in there as well, some really good work, and there was a lot of great balance. And I thought it was a really great showing from LSU on the run game, particularly when you're considering, you know, you're going to be missing Armani Goodwin for probably a good portion of this season. You know,
it's been, the broadcast pointed out last night, I guess now after this game, it'd be 3 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Further.
Yeah. I mean, and those hamstrings are so tricky. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's longer, if LSU just really wants to play it safe with him. Cause those hamstrings, you got to make sure they're 100% right before you trot out Armani Goodwin, who's a really forceful runner. But just offensively for you, I mean, just what did you think the story of this game was, and kind of how LSU looked really throughout the course of the game?
Well, one thing is for certain, drops cannot continue.
Yeah,
at all. Drops can't happen. They are, you know, I get it. You're still in college. You're not, you know, professional athletes to the point yet. Like, A drop every now and then, it's not the end of the world. You don't want it to ever happen. But to the rate that they're happening right now for LSU, especially with the talent of the room, it just can't happen. Another thing that I feel like can't happen is, listen, we were all high on Mason Taylor. Stop running the offense through Mason Taylor. Yeah. It's not working. Like, but I think that he has a very high ceiling. He has shown flashes, but he is not ready to have the offense run through him right now. And I get that he's the type of player that they want to have happen. But they don't have that this year. Maybe next year, Mac Markaway, like in the future, you have some really good prospective tight ends coming in the future. Right now, this offense can't do that. So like the fact that at one point Mason Taylor had 5 targets, all the other receivers had 1, is just not acceptable. So at this point, they need to rework the game plan, rework what's happening. I thought it was a pretty awful game plan for the most part to start on offense, and apparently on defense as well, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the offense was just lifeless again. Mistake after mistake. Didn't look like they knew what they were doing. Something's got to change. And it was really, really fortunate for them that the run game started to get going. And no one had any like flashy stats, but there were certainly flashy plays. And the running backs, really, all three of them, really gutted out big runs whenever they needed.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And you know, just kind of building on the Mason Taylor thing, you're right. He's not ready for a featured role in this offense. You know, I think at times LSU has really struggled to get the receivers open. And I do feel like in a lot of these scenarios, Mason Taylor has been kind of the check down guy, kind of the option that's kind of the safe option for Daniels on a play. And, you know, it's, you know, he had a couple balls go right through his hands. They weren't listed as drops, but they were drops. You know, Daniels was certainly not accurate with the ball on Saturday, but there were many, many balls that were in the receiver's hands that bounced off their hands. It wasn't perfect placement, and you're not going to get that, you know, on a night in, night out basis, and you got to be able to adjust. And it just felt like LSU was dropping a lot more of those than they should have. And it's got to change. I mean, the passing offense has just got to be better. They've got to find some more consistency there, particularly early in games. And yeah, I'm with you. I think there just needs to be a little bit more of a shift in kind of the game plan.
I will say we are talking about the passing game not working. There needs to be a shift. That shift is not replacing Jaden Daniels as a starter. I think it's clear as day, even to this point, that Daniels is still 110% your best option to win games this year. Nuss came in. He didn't look great. He didn't look perfect. He didn't look awful. But it's clear that this offense needs Daniels's running ability to function.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. And, you know, I differ a little bit with Nussmeier just because you could tell they were throwing him out there, and they when they put him out there, they didn't trust what he was going to be able to do for him. I mean, you could tell there were a lot of design runs, a lot of, you know, run option, run pass option plays that were just short throws for him to make, really just to try to chew some clock. I mean, that's what it really kind of felt like to me when Nussmeier was in there, was that
they super were conservative.
Trying to chew some clock. And
it felt conservative. It felt like they kind of went uber conservative with him. It's just so that there was not a chance of him making one of his mistakes at that point in the game. It's clear that he does not have the trust of this of the coaching staff to run an offense right now.
Yeah, and we should also point out that Jaden Daniels did suffer a little bit of a knee injury in that game. Brian Kelly told us after the game that you know, he could have gone back in if they wanted, but the way that that game was shaping up, it was going to be so heavily involved in the run that they didn't want to risk further injury because they knew he was probably going to have to run at some point if they were to throw him back out there. So they decided to hold him out. But offensively, was there anything else that kind of stood out that you wanted to touch on, or do you think we kind of hit on all of it? I think we did a pretty good job. We could mention the O-line a little bit. You know, I thought that they were really solid in the run game in the second half. I thought they were opening up some lanes. They were pretty consistent as a whole. You know, they obviously kind of came in with an opportunity here. They shifted some with Garrett Dellinger out. With, you know, they moved Miles Frazier over to left guard. They inserted Anthony Bradford. You know, there were some penalties. You know, LSU had, I think, 6 or 7 penalties on offense that really cropped up and really stalled some of those drives. And a lot of them were, you know, holding, you know, a couple false starts in there, I think, as well. But yeah, you know, we asked Will Campbell after the game, it just kind of was your first SEC experience what you expected? And he, you know, he gave a little bit of a mundane answer, but, you know, kind of the overall gist of it was, yeah. And, you know, he thought that he and Emory Jones, who kind of built a nice little 1-2 punch there at the tackle spots, played well. I thought they both handled the environment really well. I thought they did some really good things. And look, Daniels in the offense, they had a lot of time to pass. I mean, I don't think there was there were a couple times where I think Jaden might have held on to the ball a little bit too long. that led to a couple sacks. But I thought the protection overall, really throughout the night, was pretty solid. And you know, I think it's just got to be on the quarterback. It's got to be on these receivers and these tight ends to really zone in on you know, being more consistent catching the ball.
Yeah, for sure. We'll note that at least from PFF, Emory Jones's grade dropped a ton. I don't know that what the individual game grade was, but they docked him a lot on this game. I thought overall though they did fine. It was always going to be a rough time because of, I mean, the Auburn defensive line did look like I thought that they were going to look like. They were freaks. They were like crazy athletes. They looked really good. They were going to. I kind of figured that they would win this battle, and they kind of did, but the LSU offensive line held up enough, especially in the run game, I thought. I do want to give just a shout out to Josh Williams he's really been a reliable runner that every time we mentioned him in spring and fall camp, everyone was like, really? Like Josh Williams is getting play? Like, but he stepped up and he earned the start tonight. He was a team captain this week. And really showed out. And then John Emery, kind of looking like the Emery of old at some points. Like he's looking like he's settling back in, which is very promising and much, much needed.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice to see because we really haven't seen the Emery of old because he hasn't been here in, you know, several years now. But it was an exciting time, I think, offensively, just from this perspective, you were able to get the run game going a little bit more consistently against a higher level opponent. So that was good to see. We could shift to defense. You know, look, they made the plays. I think the biggest takeaway that I had last night from the defense was they've made the plays when they needed to. And that's been kind of a common theme that I think you've seen in the Florida State game, in the Mississippi State game, and in this game as well, against some of those higher level competition, they've made some really good plays and they've done some really good things. But obviously, last night or Saturday night, I should say, the secondary was just not at its best, and it looked like there were some communication errors, there were some busted coverages. One of the things that Robbie Ashford does really well that we kind of talked about on the pod last week was he's able to escape the pocket, but he's always looking downfield for throws. And I think you saw that a number of times in the first half where he was forced out of the pocket by LSU's front seven. But the back half of the defense was getting lost with some of the receivers and some of those big plays that you saw. And I think just led to some of the confusion back there as the play extended. So that certainly has to get cleaned up. They gave up, I think, you know, officially they recorded 8 different explosive plays on the day. They had a couple of, they had an 18-yard touchdown on a busted coverage. They had a 53-yard touchdown on a busted coverage. They had the big 60-yard play that set up another scoring opportunity. So there were, a lot of mistakes, I think, made in that first, you know, 25 minutes or so. But I really liked how they bounced back, and you kind of have to start with the way that B.J. Ogilary really stepped up in that first half by getting that strip sack that was picked up by Ward for the touchdown. I think that was absolutely the play that kind of turned the momentum of the game. LSU's, you know, defense really seemed to recover well after that one. And they really they shut out Auburn for the rest of that game. They didn't allow Auburn to score anymore. After getting down 17-0, they, you know, went on to score 21 unanswered. And I thought looked a lot better in the second half. There were still a couple of miscues in the secondary, but like I said, they made the plays. They forced 4 turnovers on the night. I think 3 of those came in the fourth quarter with the muff punt, with the interception by Perkins, and then they said it after the game, the Tyrann Mathieu-esque play from Greg Brooks that kind of sealed the deal for LSU. But I think, you know, you're going to be walking into another game here in Tennessee where you can't afford to have some of those miscues in the secondary be as prevalent or be as noticeable throughout the game. So what were your big defensive takeaways from LSU? Because I know it was a kind of a game of two halves, I think, for those guys.
Yeah, the defense, they have playmakers. Harold Perkins, man, what a guy. The interception off of Coymore was something. It was Twitter exploded. What a week for Coy Moore.
Yeah.
Didn't expect him to throw an interception and get one ripped out of his hands. But yeah, the Harold Perkins interception was humongous. They came up with plays whenever they needed them. Like the defense wasn't the reason they were down 17-0, but they had, weren't the only reason, but they definitely had a bunch of blown coverages, but the secondary really locked up. Matt House made some great adjustments. The team didn't, and I haven't been able to go back and rewatch the game, but the defense looked really, really good in the second half. More to what we were used to. I mean, they shut them out after they scored the 17 points quickly. And BJ Ojulari looks like the first round talent that we've been touting since the fall. Ali Gay, at some point, like, he hasn't really produced that much this season. It's been a very, very slow start for Ali Gay. So having Harold Perkins, having the ability to have BJ Ojulari and Harold Perkins come off the edge at the same time is really threatening.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to stop. And even Savion Jones has stepped up and carved out a bigger role for himself. You're muted. Sorry about that. Just figuring it out.
There we go. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you kind of touched on that for a little bit. I would say, you know, in terms of the defensive line and kind of the performance, I've been most impressed, you know, probably outside of Ojulari, with Mekhi Wingo. I mean, he's been really solid in the run game. We've talked about him a lot the last couple weeks. You know, Tank Bigsby had a couple of nice runs, but they never really had any big breakaway run that set up anything for Auburn. Most of their big plays came through the air. So, you know, the fact that you're still getting a pretty solid run defense has been very encouraging, I think, for LSU in these first, five games of the season. Really liked what Perkins did. I think they found a role for him in terms of just being the mess up guy. You know, they bring him in and they bring him in to rush the passer. They bring him in to, you know, kind of be that extra athletic body out on the middle of that field to go out and make plays. And he's done a really nice job of that. Matt House has done a great job kind of working with him. We've heard a lot, you know, kind of in recent weeks about how much Perkins and House are working together to kind of find a really good role for him. And, you know, I think probably one of the things that changed defensively, you know, we have to mention was, you know, they put Jerick Bernard Converse back at safety kind of as that game really looked like it was about to get out of hand. You know, they started the game with Joe Fuscia and Greg Brooks as your two high safeties. But you could tell there were some issues back there. I think it's just going to take a little bit more time for Joe to come along. You know, after missing four games, you know, you got to get that game speed back. And LSU looked a lot more polished back there when it was Bernard Converse playing safety. And, you know, they were able to communicate a little bit better, I think. And just a little bit more consistent in that second half in terms of not letting those big plays turn into points. I think that was the biggest thing that you really got a chance to see in that final 30 minutes, and really allowed LSU to get back in that game, take a lead and hold on to the lead. So really encouraged overall. I would say very messy was the word that I used after the game. And there's certainly a lot of work for improvement, but at the end of the day, you're 4-1. You're 4-1 heading into this top 10 battle against Tennessee. You're a top 25 team, and you have a really good opportunity now to kind of showcase yourself to the SEC in what's going to be a really early morning game. I know a lot of LSU fans aren't going to like it, but there is a good chance here that LSU can walk out, and if they come away victorious, absolutely make a statement in this conference in terms of how they're going to look under Brian Kelly, how consistent they can be. It's going to be one of those program defining games, I think, for this year.
Yeah. I said it in the forums on the board, but an ugly win is better than a hard fought loss. So, they got away with it. It's the SEC West. You know, a lot of people thought that Auburn shouldn't have had a chance. They probably shouldn't have. It was Jordan Hare mixed with birthday magic, as they mentioned 80 times on the broadcast that it was Robbie Ashford's 20th birthday. So happy birthday, Robbie Ashford. But LSU left the party with a dub, and that's kind of all that really matters for this team at this point, where they're at in the program. Winning SEC West games, no matter how you win them, is a positive. It's always going to be tough. There's a lot of voodoo going against LSU, but they fought back. It was a good one. Overall thoughts. Yeah, it's a plus. And I don't think we can go without saying, I don't know if we've mentioned it, but you got to figure out the Kayshon Boutte problem. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is, something has to change with how he's being approached. Either he doesn't play because it's not working out. And at this point, it's weird to say after how impressive he's been, but at this point, Kayshon.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Am I back?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Sorry. Yeah, you cut out there. Okay. Go. Sorry. Go ahead.
Am I back?
Yep.
Okay. The Kayshon Boutte problem, no matter, it feels crazy to say because of how good he has been. But at this point, his spot in the offense has been a net negative. Mm-hmm. It's just taking up other spots of people who have worked more. I'm not saying you have to bench him. Just figure out how he's being approached in the offense, because if right now it's not working, he's not getting targeted all game. And then whenever he does get targeted, he's frustrated and drops the ball. So something has to that right now is the biggest question mark on the offense. Figure out what's going on with Kayshon.
Yep. I think that's absolutely true. Just another quick thought, special teams still very much a problem. They had 4 penalties in that first half on special teams. It cost them field position. That needs to be cleaned up. And I'm just not sure at this point in the season what else you can really tell those guys. I mean, like, it's just been really, really poor. And I think Kelly, certainly has a lot of work to do with that. And we'll see what happens. But yeah, just another kind of not right night for special teams overall, outside of the one Jay Bramblett punt that got downed inside the one, which was really nice. But yeah, so we'll move on to Tennessee. I think kind of just a couple early thoughts here. This is going to be a big offensive game from Tennessee. Hendon Hooker has looked like a really, really solid quarterback. 8 touchdowns, no picks. Has completed over 70% of his passes. Just a really, really solid overall player. He's a good runner as well. I guess kind of I'll turn it over to you because I know you've watched some of Tennessee this year, but just how much of this game do you think is going to be LSU's defense trying to at least sustain Tennessee's offense, and how much of it do you think it's going to need to be LSU's offense kind of moving the chains and kind of keeping this thing in their hands more so than Tennessee?
Well, as last game was more of a strength versus weakness and strength versus weakness kind of game, this is strength versus strength. It's all LSU defense versus Tennessee offense. I've been super high on the Volunteers all season long heading into the season. I think Josh Heupel has built a really good offense over there. And it's going to be up to the defense to really dictate and really kind of give the LSU offense opportunities. We've seen Tennessee's defense struggle a little bit, but the offense is run to a clip to where it doesn't really matter. So it's if the LSU defense can come out and slow them down a little bit and allow LSU's offense to catch up. As of right now, it looks like LSU will be unable to outpace the Tennessee offense in a scoring battle. So the LSU defense is really going to have to strap down and be good, be great. It's not even be good. They're going to have to be the elite LSU defense if they want a chance, because I mean, Tennessee has a great quarterback, a couple of great receivers. This offense is super, super high tempo. They run a lot of plays. They want to run a lot of plays. So yeah, just be ready. It's going to be fun, but it's going to be frustrating if the LSU defense is not ready.
Yeah, they have a really solid run game too, between Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. Those are a couple of guys that have combined for over 100 yards a game as a duo in the backfield. I think, you know, LSU's defense is going to have to really, you know, just be like Dylan mentioned, you know, really, really solid up front in terms of, you know, stopping the run. This is a pretty well-balanced offense. You know, they have I think around 175 rushing attempts on the year, and they've thrown the ball about 110 times in four games. So maybe a little bit more leaning towards the run, but this is an offense that's going to be able to hurt you in a lot of ways if LSU isn't careful. So we'll certainly have a lot more on Tennessee as the week goes. So make sure to keep, you know, stay tuned with us. Was there any kind of parting thought?
Hendon Hooker also a very good running quarterback. Yeah. So yeah,
absolutely.
So you know, Robbie Ashford, we saw break a couple runs. Can't have that happen.
Yeah. And I think in kind of Hooker's case, you know, when he's looking to run, he's looking to run. In terms of Ashford's case, where he was looking to kind of extend plays and get the ball downfield, Hooker does feel more like a runner to me in terms of just watching him play. He's a guy that can make some stuff happen in the open field, and I think he's going to be really fun to watch on Saturday morning. You know, before we get out of here, I know there was a high school game that you got a chance to look up on Friday that featured Woodlawn quarterback and LSU commit Ricky Collins. You had a chance to talk with another LSU commit, Kai Preen, after the game as well. Just talk about that experience and just what you were able to learn about Kai and Ricky really throughout that game.
Yeah. So I go to a high school game every week, usually whatever the best game in Baton Rouge is in terms of LSU prospects. So maybe we can start talking about that on these pods to end out. Just a little quick note, Ricky Collins looks much, much improved than what we've seen, at least in highlight tapes. He looks much more refined as a passer. He was making some crazy throws. He was fitting balls into really, really tight windows down the field. Really impressive on the run. In terms of off, like what he looks like he could run the LSU offense. Not today, but like if this is the LSU offensive structure that they want to run, Ricky Collins looks like he would fit right into it. Super athletic, great arm. I've seen Eli Holstein twice and I've seen Ricky Collins once, and Ricky Collins impressed me much, much more. Just in terms of the throws that he was making and his decision making, he did throw an interception towards the end of the game. which seemed like a miscommunication because he was throwing it to where, I mean, it just him and the receiver are on a completely different page. But I don't just from straight missing a throw. I don't know if I saw him just miss a throw at all. Like he looked really, really good, really, really promising. He looked like a 4-star recruit that I can see why LSU really went after him. And then on the other side at St. James, Kyprian, I think it's Prayon.
I think
there's a little bit of a kick to his name. I'm pretty sure I should have asked him, but it was him versus Jordan Matthews, which was a really, really fun matchup all night. And Jordan Matthews really got the edge on him for the first three quarters. Jordan Matthews, Tennessee commit. I think LSU is still going after him. LSU probably is still going after him. If I had to guess, there was a Tennessee coach or Tennessee scout at the game. So that was interesting. Anyway, Kyprian really had a great fourth quarter, showed off his after the catch ability. He looks like he'll be an electric punt returner and kick returner. Even just as a receiver, he would catch the ball and make a bunch of guys miss. Had a really impressive play where he was he caught it and then was able to lateral it as he was getting tackled at the end of the game that gave them crucial yards. And then he caught the game-winning touchdown pass at the end with 16 seconds left that let St. James beat Woodlawn. At Woodlawn's homecoming. So it was a big game. I usually don't try to talk to the players who just lost a big game. So I didn't talk to Ricky after the game, but I did talk to Kai. And he was really, really excited about committing to LSU. He has been to pretty much every home game, I think, and is planning to come to a bunch more and loves the experience and has really, really likes what he's seen from whenever the wide receivers get working. He really likes what he sees out of the offense and the capabilities and really wants – he's just really, really excited about the opportunity to come to LSU and has loved everything he's seen from the coaching staff. And he's still getting talked to by pretty much all of the same coaches. So they're keeping him close to home. And yeah, he looks really, really excited to be a Tiger.
Yeah, no, it's a great update. I remember watching Ricky a lot over the summer, and he's certainly sounding like he's trying to take that, you know, summer experience and kind of feel it to some more success here as a senior. LSU has a couple really good ones there and Kyprian and Ricky Collins. So, with that, you know, we'll certainly be, around. We're going to have a lot of great content for you guys as LSU prepares for this top 25 matchup, against Tennessee. But with that, you know, we'll probably have another pod on Friday, but until then, we'll certainly see you guys soon, but appreciate you.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!